It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. This year, Wisconsin Public Radio is going beyond the ballot, asking people what issues are important to them this election season. As Bridget Bowden reports, some voters are worried that there aren't enough young people deciding to live in rural parts of the state.
Elena Voss grew up on a family farm in Mauston. Like a lot of young people, she left her town to go to college at UW-Platteville. And right after she graduated, she came back.
Big thing is I could have waited and came back a little bit later in my life. My parents never forced me to be, you have to come back home.
She got a job with Extension in Juneau County and helps out on the farm. But she's worried that there aren't enough people her age doing what she did.
Everything's going on in the big cities, but a lot of times in the rural communities, you're stagnant. You need money to do this, you need money to do that, and it's hard to get the money when you don't have new individuals coming into the community or new businesses.
Elena isn't the only one concerned about this. Research shows that young adult population loss raises the cost of schools, public services, and recreation for individuals. Randy Stoker is a professor of community and environmental sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says it's not just rural areas that are losing people.
If that's what they're concerned about, they should actually be concerned about it everywhere. It's not just a rural phenomenon, and it is a very uneven phenomenon in the state.
Stoker studied all of Wisconsin's municipalities, more than 1,800 of them, and he found that only about 15% of Wisconsin communities are gaining and maintaining young adults.
These are by and large communities that have taken very good care of their schools and very good care of their teachers and turned their schools into kind of community spaces.
And there are other things that many of them have in common, like affordable housing and restaurants. Most of them are located close to bigger cities and the highways needed to get there. Jeff Wright is the assistant superintendent for the Sauk Prairie School District. He grew up in Wisconsin, then moved away for a while. He decided to come back and raise his family on a farm near Spring Green. He says he likes the rural lifestyle, but sees a need for modernization.
There's a way that we can keep what's so good about these small communities the same, but also bring new voices and ideas into them to make sure that they stay alive.
Wright says access to high-speed internet throughout rural Wisconsin needs to be improved to attract more young people.
If you wanted to open a business in rural Wisconsin that required an internet connection, would you be able to do that where you wanted to live? Or that if I wanted to live on our farm but my wife worked digitally, could she do that from our farm so that I could work at home and she could work at home, but both of us have access to that global marketplace?
Wright is also running for state assembly against incumbent Representative Todd Novak of Dodgeville, who says he's also concerned about population loss. He thinks a loan forgiveness program could entice young people to move to rural parts of the state.
For example, if somebody from my district goes to college and becomes a teacher or becomes a dentist or becomes, whatever, we are able to have them come home and work back at home and set up a loan forgiveness program for rural areas.
Novak says there's a huge need for medical professionals in his area, including mental health experts and nurses. And he hopes young people will be the ones to fill those gaps. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now we are going to actually talk with Bridget, who is sitting with us in the studio. She is the special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio, and she's the project manager of Beyond the Ballot. Bridget, so what made you want to dig into this?
So with the Beyond the Ballot project, what we're doing is going out and asking people across the state what they care about. And as we are able to identify trends, a lot of people saying a similar thing, mm-hmm. then we'll dig into that issue. So that's
what
happened.
A lot of people said young people are leaving our rural communities.
Young people are leaving. There aren't enough young people, moving here. Just generally I found a lot of people who were worried about their towns.
So do you live in rural Wisconsin? What does your area need, and what should lawmakers and those running for office this election season do to improve the quality of life in your area? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Young people is an issue that people are leaving. This shift is happening. Is this a concern with the election?
So it's definitely a concern that is, you know, through a few steps related to the elections. As we're going out and asking these questions, people have identified it as their most important issue this election season. People want to elect people to office who are going to take this seriously.
So there's been research done on this kind of stuff. What kinds of things do attract young people and encourage them to stay in a town or a city?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of research on this topic. Like you heard in my story, there is some research on what keeps and attracts young people to cities and towns. Mm-hmm. One of those things is the quality of schools. Obviously, young people, especially those starting families, are going to be really interested in having good schools to send their kids to. Other things are, you know, good parks, good trails, that kind of thing. But I should say there is no silver bullet. There's no one thing that, you know, every town could do and then young people would magically move there. It varies. There are some places that have done very well and some places that have not done very well.
I'm curious, when you've talked to people, have you talked to young people moving out or older people who are staying lamenting the fact that the younger people are moving out?
I've talked to both, and you heard from both in my feature. I think the young woman who started off the story, Elena Voss, she was really interesting. She is 26 and she grew up in a small town and then went off to college in a bigger city and then decided, you know what, I need to move back to my small town because she said she didn't see enough people doing that.
So stagnation is not the only thing that's in rural voters' mind. There's also this issue of connectivity, which is not just a Wisconsin issue. Talk to me about rural broadband.
So it's not just a Wisconsin issue. This is something that, you know, across the country in rural areas, people are having to figure out. So I talked to a man, Bill Korer, who said that rural broadband is actually his top issue this election season.
The issue that we have up north is that you have a lot of seasonal homes, and those seasonal homes tend to be on the perimeters of lakes. And if you're looking at a straight shot across the lake, it's not that far, but if you have to wind around and try and connect them, you're talking considerable distance. And right now, the broadband issue, if we get better broadband coverage, that could boost the local economy because there's a lot of seasonal people that would spend more time in the Northwoods. In this day and age with workforce, a lot of people, if they have high-speed internet, they can work from their home. So that would help. And broadband is just one of those things that's very similar to the rural electrification of 100 years ago that you know, you look what that did for the ag industry and everything, and broadband is very similar.
And I should say, Bill lives in Minocqua, so he does live in the up north area.
Okay, so this is kind of a dream that people have. You know, I'm going to go to the North Woods. I'm going to set up this business. I'm going to be a writer, whatever. I'm going to do a blog or a podcast. And you can't quite do that if you don't have connectivity. I mean, you have to be connected everywhere.
Right. So there are ways to get some internet connection. Bill, for example, has DSL. Mm. But yeah, there are some places where you can't have a really fast, really reliable internet connection.
So if listeners want to get involved talking about rural needs, what can they do to get to talk to you about Beyond the Ballot?
Yeah, we would love for people to reach out and answer our questions. You can visit our website, which is WPR.org/ballot. You can also send us an email at beyondtheballot@WPR.org.
So I'm curious, you've talked to people. Has anybody talked to elected officials to see what they're doing about it? Is there a disconnect there? Between what people want and what their elected officials or the people running for office are saying?
It may be a little too soon in the election season to say. Elected officials certainly are talking about it. But as far as doing anything, I think we may need to wait and see.
I want to go back to schools for a second. People want good schools. Do they talk about having good teachers? What is it that they don't like about the schools they have?
You know, I haven't talked to anyone who's told me, you know, I don't like this about my school, but everyone wants good schools. Everyone wants good teachers and for them to be, you know, fully funded so that their kids can have good opportunities.
Bridget Bowden is a special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. She's project manager of Beyond the Ballot. To get involved, you can visit WPR.org/ballot. Coming up next, we're going to continue our look at the issues rural residents face. Digital connectivity is among them. Also, financing for small businesses. Stay with us. I'm Carrie Kaufman, and this is the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. So what will it take to keep people or even grow a population in rural communities? Our next guest has one simple answer. Broadband. Connect people to the rest of the world and they will stay where they are or perhaps even come. Rural Wisconsinites, what matters most to your local economy? What's working? What isn't? Do you have access to high-speed broadband? What has it meant for your business and for your community? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Tom Still is joining us right now. He's the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. So you have been on many times, and this is our first time together, so it's good to meet you, even virtually.
Great to meet you, and look forward to our conversation.
So you've written about the survival challenge for rural Wisconsin, and a quote that I was given from you is one of the state's most vexing issues. Why is it so vexing, Tom?
Oh, I think rural Wisconsin has challenges for a number of reasons. I mean, if you look around the rest of the state, the economy is doing pretty well by most standards. You know, unemployment, workforce participation, growth in local businesses, those kinds of things. But in rural Wisconsin, because of demographics and, you know, how we look as a state, as an aging state in some ways, the number of businesses that are there, and then broadband availability, I think, is a big part of it. So there's not a single answer to any of this, but broadband is one that comes right to the top of the list.
So broadband often will, like AT&T, the big broadband companies, will have broadband in some areas, and then it'll just kind of stop.
Right.
Do you find that in rural communities?
Yeah, and that's no different than you'll see in a lot of places around the country, frankly. It's called the last mile problem, where oftentimes fiber can be within a mile or so of where the homes are, especially in rural Wisconsin. But to get it up to where it needs to go is the most expensive proposition. It can cost $30,000 to $50,000 a mile just to lay fiber toward a point where it needs to be. Well, if you only got 5 or 6 homes on that mile, you can see how it's really hard to justify in terms of, you know, monthly payments as you move along. So there have been some solutions around that. There are some technology solutions. There have been some public-private funding solutions. But
let's go in depth about that. What are some of the technology solutions we have here, and what are some of the funding solutions?
On the technology side, while fiber continues to be the gold standard in terms of, you know, the kind of broadband technology that you might have, there are other solutions. Television white space, for example. And that's the notion of using literally the white space, kind of the buffer zones between existing channels to transmit broadband. And that can be really quite effective because, like television waves, which are at that 600 to 700 megahertz band, they can go over hills, they can go through buildings, they can do a lot of things that other bandwidths are not going to do. And so that that can be effective in a lot of places. There are some experiments underway in Wisconsin and elsewhere. In fact, Wisconsin is one of about 12 states where the Microsoft Corporation is doing some trials. So that's one way. You can have fixed wireless antennas in a lot of different places along the way, and depending on how far a home or a business is from that, that can be picked up. And then there's some other things that are on that are kind of, you know, they might sound unusual to the average person, but the Google Loon project, which is high altitude balloons, and that's been out there as an option. So there's some different ways through technology to get it done.
So, once again, I want to go with this TV white space. You said that, and I immediately pictured some big, like, TV antenna, like we used to have when we were kids, up on the top of the roof, and having to adjust the antenna to kind of, like, get the white space. I'm sure that's outdated, but how do you deliver that white space to the home or to the business?
Mm-hmm. And here, let's assume for a second that Wisconsin becomes a state where there are some dedicated white space channels. And by the way, there are others who kind of already use that space in between, but it's really sort of a radio wave frontier in a way. Mm. And so there would be modems, essentially, antenna just attached to the outside of the house, much smaller, not, you know, not our grandfather's big old antenna on the roof.
Right.
And then the delivery into the home from that point on would probably be a fiber connection once the wireless piece is attached to the home or the business or wherever it is. And that's how it would get delivered.
So why doesn't satellite do that?
Satellite can. And there are a number of people who use satellite delivery for broadband and cable for broadband, there are methods within that too. It just appears that the white space option, because of how far it can travel and how good the signal can be through physical barriers, seems to be one that people pay more attention to of late.
We are talking with Tom Still of the Wisconsin Technology Council about, right now we're talking about rural broadband, but we're going to be talking about rural issues in general and population issues having to do with that. 800-642-1234 is the number that you can call. Ideas at WPR.org is where you can email. Do you live in a rural area? Do you want to go back to living in a rural area? And you're finding that there are barriers. 800-642-1234. So I'm interested, sticking with rural broadband for a little while, I'm interested in the speed of such a thing. If we were to have something like TV white space, how fast would it be? Is it as fast as cable, or is it as fast as AT&T's fiber optic?
Yeah, and I think here the goal has been... basically, since 2015, the Federal Communications Commission said, okay, here are the standards. Here are the minimum standards. We would like to see if people are installing whatever system. It's got to be what's called the 25.3. That means 25 megabits per second download, 3 megabits per second upload. And that is what's considered... fast enough by those FCC standards. And again, those have been in place, well, since 2015, so, you know, going on 3+ years.
I will tell you, though, that users of broadband, 25 bits is not even fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
right? A lot of people are using, are looking for 100 bits, and a lot of in cities, a lot of people are, a lot of internet providers are promising that. Is that possible?
Oh yeah, and in some cases 200 and 300.
Right.
So and again, fiber is one of the best ways to do that, but it's also by far the most expensive. So again, the 25.3, that's a minimum. And then there've been estimates, and it really comes down to the cost, and you know, of providing it. At the time, it was calculated that to get 100% coverage in the United States was going to cost about $80 billion to reach that 25.3 standard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you even drop it to 98% coverage, it would be $40 billion. So you can see how expensive it is to get 100% coverage. You know, that final 2% is really so hard to reach. And so it does come down to cost, and it comes down to what's most effective to reach people with what they need. Density is a big part of it. Again, if you're one of those five people on the road, you're gonna see more. And so that becomes one of those choices about living in rural Wisconsin or rural America, for that matter. If you really expect the kind of coverage your friends in the cities get, you may be disappointed. It might be a trade-off that you have to live with for a while.
You know, I should also note that the last mile problem is a problem in cities also. Sometimes in poorer areas of the city, that last mile stops before it even gets there. But I also want to talk about, when we were talking to Bridget Bowden a little while ago, there was somebody that she played a clip of who mentioned rural electrification 100 years ago, ag co-ops that brought electric to rural communities. Is there something like that that could be done, co-ops that could be done in rural Wisconsin to bring broadband?
Yes, and in some cases there already are. So that's correct about the sort of the rural electrification surge of the 1930s and 40s. It really changed rural America at that time. Then there was a telecom revolution that followed, kind of 40s and 50s, where all of a sudden people had telephones.
Mm.
And Wisconsin has a number of local telephone companies. It's probably, you know, in percentage terms, one of the larger kinds of concentrations of local phone companies in the country. And they can continue to be, I think, platforms for some of this build-out on broadband. Other communities have formed some co-ops in different places in the state. So there, you know, there are ways around it. Now, at the federal level, one thing that's underway that has been, it should be pretty exciting for Wisconsin, is the Connect America Fund number 2. So CAF 2 is how it's known in shorthand. And that has a schedule for the investment in broadband. And Wisconsin's actually the number 2 state in the country for receiving grant dollars on that.
Okay.
And that's going to, it started a year or so ago, and so there's already been some progress, and now it's going to continue rolling out for the next 3 years. Only California is getting more federal dollars, grant dollars, under that program.
So two questions here. First of all, how much money are we getting?
It's right around $550 million.
Okay.
So it's a big thing. It's a big amount. It's now how it's distributed.
That's
basically
it.
Through some big carriers, CenturyTel, Frontier, and AT&T, kind of in that order. Those are the big ones.
And have they promised to do that in rural areas?
Yes. The fund is set up really explicitly for rural areas, and those carriers had to say, yes, if I take this money, I'm going to hit these thresholds of coverage over the next 4 years. So that's underway. there's a state broadband grant program through the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin, and that has distributed about 55 grants over the since 2014. These are much smaller. Probably a total of $35 million is expected to go through there. They're expected to reach 600 businesses in those 55 grants, which are very specific and can be a town in a county around Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
55 grants, about 20,000 homes that are going to be affected by that. So those are two sort of public ways of priming the pump to match up with what's going on privately or through some of the co-op examples we discussed earlier.
So I know that we are talking about rural broadband in particular right now, but in general this hour we are talking about keeping people in rural communities. Give us a call and talk to us about your experience about leaving a rural community, maybe deciding to stay. What are the challenges you have? 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. This is assuming that you have access to broadband so that you can email and tweet. Tom, I want to talk a little bit about legislative policies. There are a lot of states through the bidding of major broadband companies that have made having co-ops and specific rural complexes to deliver broadband have made it hard for them legislatively. Have we done that?
I don't know that we've made it any harder for that to get done, because some of those examples are, you know, happening in Wisconsin. I think the real problem in, you know, what I would call community approaches or co-op approaches is the cost and being able to keep up with the latest innovations and maintenance as you go along. It's one thing for a company like a CenturyTel or an AT&T to be able to keep up with that. In fact, in some cases, they help develop the technology. But if you're in, a smaller community, you might be able to take that first step to get hooked up, but then there are those continuing costs of maintenance and continuing costs of, how do you get to the next speed?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of challenges those communities have to consider as they move along. Now, one thing that Wisconsin has not kept up with in this sort of legislative sense is the notion of the spread of small cell technologies and how that might bring on the evolution of 5G coverage, fifth generation coverage. A lot of the states around us have passed legislation to make it easier for those kinds of small cell antennas to be kind of in different places along streets, power poles, you know, a variety of different venues for that. And so Wisconsin has not done that yet, but most of the states around us have. So right now, it's kind of interesting. It's more of a big city problem because that level of penetration and speed is what's going to be used for a variety of things, including in the future, even autonomous vehicles.
We are talking to Tom Still about rural Wisconsin and specifically right now rural broadband in Wisconsin. We're going to talk in a moment about some things that other states are doing and the economy of rural Wisconsin. It's The Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about what it will take for rural communities to keep their young people and perhaps attract new populations. Tom Still and I have been focusing on broadband, but there are other issues that have to do with financing and the types of businesses rural communities might incubate. Small business owners and entrepreneurs in rural areas, what do you need for success? How were you able to get started, or did you try to start something and it didn't work out because of the barriers that are up? 1-800-642-1234. If you have broadband and you have access to internet, please email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, Tom, when we left a little while ago, we were talking about things that other states are doing to increase broadband. There was a Minnesota project that aimed to get 10 cities and 17 townships up to speed with broadband. How has that been going? Do you know anything about this?
I know a little bit, and pretty much along the lines of what you know, that it has been a successful project. And, this is kind of interesting. For the past couple of years, the person who helped get the Minnesota project underway, Angie Dickinson, has been in Wisconsin as a state broadband director.
Hmm.
So we stole a little talent from Minnesota. It's always
good.
A good thing, right?
Yes, yes.
And she is very familiar with how it worked there, and I think some of her actions in and around the state broadband grant program have been instrumental. So that's one of the things that's happening. And, I was just thinking about a stat that speaks a little bit to the problem, and this is just from this year. The FCC found that broadband deployment in Wisconsin was below the national average. So we continue to have problems, even though there are other states, rural states, that have it. But through surveys and other things, they found that 13.7% of the people in Wisconsin, that's 783,000, lack access to at least one broadband service with that 25.3 megabit speed that we discussed earlier. And that compared to a national average of 7.7%. So that's and most of those people live in rural census blocks, by the way. Of the 783,000, 748,000 live in rural census blocks.
So I'm going to move on for a little while from broadband. Setting up a business in a small town takes some capital. It does take the notion that you're going to be connected because you have to have a supply chain. We are all connected. But in terms of getting capital to revitalize some small communities, what are the challenges there?
The challenges are, in some ways, the capital challenges are going to be the same wherever you are. But in some cases, in rural Wisconsin, and this is where we try to do a lot of work as the Wisconsin Technology Council, is trying to bring equity capital into rural Wisconsin. In other words, angel and venture capital.
Mm.
If you go back 15 years ago, there really wasn't such a thing. In fact, there were only maybe a half dozen angel networks or funds or venture capital funds in the entire state. And today there are about three dozen that are in various stages of deployment. There are still only a limited number in rural Wisconsin, and again, it's because of density. So having, especially for what a business that might be considered high growth, angel and venture capital is real important.
Hmm.
Banks, they do debt capital. They lend money based on what kind of collateral is there. Unfortunately, in Wisconsin, there are some fewer banks than there have been in the past, especially state chartered banks, and those are often the banks that they will go that extra mile to try to make loans to business people, especially those they know and trust. And there have been a lot of trends in the banking industry that have led to consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are the result of federal standards that came into play right around the time of the Great Recession.
Right. We're talking about Dodd-Frank.
Dodd-Frank, which was kind of aimed at bigger banks, and unfortunately the many of the casualties were smaller banks. And so that's part of the issue as well.
So let me ask you this. I know that Congress is looking at maybe rewriting Dodd-Frank, maybe loosening some of the rules. What are the onerous rules from Dodd-Frank that would help rural communities? If they were gotten rid of.
Sure, right? Sure. Mostly they're in regulatory senses and kind of the reporting requirements, the auditing requirements that tend to be, the same on the larger banks as they are in the smaller. And so those kinds of things cost money. I can't... sort of cite it chapter and verse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a banker. But at the same time, it really is a combination of things that that were intended to try to protect people, but instead have sort of narrowed choices over time and really affected what happens in some communities. Because if your community bank went away, or was less prosperous, well, that means the kind of risk-taking that those institutions want to do is hampered. And so that's kind of roughly where it's been for some communities in recent years.
So we are getting a few emails from people. Rachel or Rochelle, I'm not really sure how to pronounce the name, emailed us. She writes, I'm in my 30s. And live in the very low-income rural area with the average salary of $17,000 a year. Certainly, internet and television are a complaint, but also cell service. A lot of our area can only get 1X, and we have stopped texting since text either doesn't go through or aren't received. We also frequently get missed calls because they don't ring on our cell phones. So cell service, you were talking about small cell service for 5G, but she's saying they don't even get 1G.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, some places in Wisconsin, people would be happy with a service that's a couple of generations back. Cell towers are not as ubiquitous as some people believe. There are parts of Wisconsin where, the person who contacted you noted that you can't get good cell coverage. And some of that is because the tower system has not been completely done. And some of that is actually, in some cases, local opposition. Not everybody wants a cell tower close to them.
Right.
And yet they remain necessary for transmission of those kinds of signals. So
I want to pick up on the other thing she says, that the average salary is $17,000 a year. We're sort of like piecemealing these things out, but how does technology fit into a vision for raising those kinds of salaries in rural Wisconsin?
Right. Very important. And it harkens back, I think, to our previous conversation about rural electrification, what that did to
mm-hmm.
bring prosperity and increase incomes in rural Wisconsin, and then sort of that first rural telecom kind of wave that was, largely in the 40s and 50s, kind of post-World War II. And now I think broadband can be a part of that because it does bring connections. It brings the ability for people to expand their businesses and their own horizons beyond what they had been previously. Let me give you just a quick example, because we do some work in and around Ashland, Wisconsin, and Northwest Wisconsin. There's a company there called Superior Sauna. Well, what do? They do saunas.
Right.
And if you go back a few years ago, they were really limited to, sort of Ashland, Bayfield, Iron, kind of around that region. They got into a business park about 3 miles west of Ashland. They happened to have great connections there because of the service of a local provider, and they now do business around the world. They when I talked to the owner probably sometime this spring, They had sold a sauna in Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
So that business went from kind of purely Main Street, which is great, to a business that is able to make sales around the world. And what does that do? That means they hire more people. They are able to pay those people a competitive wage, and it just adds to the economy of that region. So it's Wisconsin's wages in some parts of the state are much lower than they are in the cities, and that's just, you know, I think that's what has happened out throughout the history of economies.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there are things that can make that better, and those kinds of broadband connections are one of them.
There's a caller that we don't have time to take the caller on the air, but she says that she lives 45 minutes north of Milwaukee, didn't realize it was so rural when she moved there, and was told to cut down trees to get internet access. Do you hear this a lot?
Well, I haven't heard the tree thing, but you know, it gets back to there are some kinds of technologies that don't transmit well in forested areas. And
we have a lot of forested areas in this state.
We have our share of forested areas. I was at a meeting in Washington not long ago, and there were discussions among groups kind of like ours about that notion. Are there, you know, how do you get around the tree problem?
Mm.
And that's where white space can come in, because it will go through, you know, buildings, trees, hills, and
so how likely is that going to happen, and how soon is that going to happen?
There are some pilot projects happening already. This is really kind of interesting. The FCC, as long ago as 2008, said, yeah, it's okay to go ahead with white space. The issue became that there were no dedicated white space channels, per se.
So,
you know, other than it being kind of Wild West, no one wanted to invest in building out white space technology further.
So, Tom, I'm going to have to end where we began talking about white space. We have been talking to Tom Still. He's the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. Tom, we're going to do this again because we have not hit even half of what we needed to hit. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Carrie.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.